Well, with the rand losing some ground today, trading weaker to flat, South Africa government bonds traded pretty mixed. By the close, the R186 government bond bid at 9.27%, and that from yesterday's 9.21%, while the R207 was bid at 8.01%, as you can see there, from 7.97% yesterday. Joining us on the line now to flesh out some of the detail behind the activity that's in play on the bond market scene, though, is Vickers Furstenberg of Future Growth Asset Management. Vickers, thanks so much for your time this evening. South African government bonds trading mixed, as I said, with the rand initially losing some ground against the dollar after yesterday's rally. Right at the top, run us through some of the activity that played out at today's bond auction.
Hi, Alicia. It was the third bond auction, post the disastrous midterm budget thing in October, with the larger size, 3.3 billion on offer on a weekly basis on nominals. It's not bad, it's like oversubscribed somewhere between 3.5 and 2.5 times, depending which stock you look at. And most of the stocks, the four that were on offer this morning, clearing about 1 point or so below where the market was at the time. So it wasn't a bad auction at all, considering what has happened.
Yeah. Yes, we've seen S&P, lower South Africa's rand-denominated debt to sub-investment grade, but that pretty much was priced in. How much relief was it for you that Moody's didn't follow suit, Vickers?
Not sure whether, from a personal point of view, a relief, but I think they just simply kicked the can down the road. Because we said all along that that the rating agencies, all of them, are behind the curve, and it's a matter of time. So we still have a view that the Moody's downgrade is going to happen. I think this is going to be early March, as opposed to because obviously they indicated what they're looking for, and they were hoping for something sort of a bit more credible coming from the February budget announcements and so on and so forth. But, we have investment thesis that sort of reads when sustained low economic growth becomes bond bearish. And, nothing really has changed in terms of that. So the rating agencies, in Moody's in particular, I think are behind the curve, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah. Despite that being the case, and despite the expectation that, this further downgrade into junk status is potentially on the cards, we seem to be seeing still appeal from foreign investors in particular, where there's this demand for high-yielding emerging market assets, and that still seeming to outweigh domestic factors like politics, fiscal risks, and downgrades. How much of a distinction are you drawing between local investor appetite and foreign investor appetite at this stage?
It's a very good point that. It's very important to sort of make that distinction, and not just in terms of foreign versus local. I think within the foreign investment community as well, we have two sort of groups there, benchmark constrained investors. Those are the investors that would sort of obviously pay a bit more attention to what happened to credit ratings. And then, of course, the benchmark, so-called benchmark unconstrained investor. The latter would certainly be focused on yield, relative plays, and things like that. And I would not be surprised if it's them who actually sort of entered the market post, the sell-off we had, the sell-off we had post the October midterm budget.
Yeah. While that is a contributing factor, Vickers, what's interesting is that we had strong gains in the local currency coincide with news that government plans to remedy its public finances by cutting expenditure and raising taxes. Is that purely coincidental, or is the market actually buying into some of what's on that agenda?
I really can't talk to what the market thinks, but from my perspective, it's very, very difficult for me to take those plans seriously. I mean, it's about credibility, isn't it? And I'm afraid to say, so far, we failed dismally in terms of that. We're very good at sort of putting plans on the table, making promises, but following through, we're not there at all. And, it's not just that. It's not just the fiscal sort of sustainability thing. It's also about introducing effective and decisive structural reforms to lift economic growth, because at the end of the day, you need higher sustained economic growth to stabilize the level of debt or ensure, in other words, fiscal sustainability. And I'm afraid, you know, that should be the focus. And I'm not convinced, you know, we're going to get there very quickly and easily.
Yeah, Vickers, with that, I mean, the ball is thrown into Treasury's court at this stage. It's a 40 billion rand revenue gap that needs to be addressed. What firepower do you see the Treasury putting to use?
I'm afraid to say again that you know, that links up with our investment thesis, where we say that, you know, if GDP growth falters, then revenue collection suffers, and that's exactly what has happened, you know, the past fiscal year. And I'm not convinced it makes sense for them to put these things on the table and just say, you know, if we raise more taxes, we're going to be able to plug the hole. Because at the end of the day, what we need to consider is that we're battling with subpar economic performance and an exceedingly narrow tax base. So come budget day and you think you're going to sort of solve your problems by hiking more taxes, you got to think about what the impact of that would be on future growth.
Absolutely.
So you could end up raising taxes but collecting less taxes because you're inhibiting economic growth, and that's crucial.
Well, let's leave it there, Vickers. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Vickers Furstenberg is with Future Growth Asset Management.